I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 398, Mission Impossible Fallout.
Should we just call it quits now? Before we get to 400?
Oh.
I mean,
oh, I see. Never do. I thought you just really hated this movie.
Yeah, I was
no.
Like, this movie's really good.
I mean, shortest podcast ever.
Yeah.
I waited until we recorded to ask. I just wondered.
That's, well, we should stop at 399.
Yeah, that's what
we should
stop.
Do the box office
and then
never...
not do it.
Done. And just yeah. Just release 401 right. Eventually. Like,
yeah. Who are we, Todd McFarlane?
Well, or Apple.
Yeah.
Went, Apple 8, Apple nothing, Apple X.
Yeah. Well, I remember McFarlane years ago, when Spawn was coming out, he couldn't keep up.
Yep.
And so, was it issue 7 and 8, I think it was? And so, issue 7 and 8 of Spawn were very, very delayed.
Yes.
And
as per usual with Todd McFarlane.
And so at some point it was like if he put them out, the distributors got this significant
they were returnable.
They were returnable is what it was. And so he decided, you know what? I'm going to cancel those and just go straight to number 9.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what happened.
And that way...
7 and 8 end up coming out.
Yeah. But, and then like a couple years later, he put out 7 and 8 as like special.
I think it was like a Cerberus... like that's the I think that's the one where it's like half of it's black and white and it's the crossover with Cerberus.
Yeah,
I think. And then
oh, that's great. This is so artsy. It's black and white. Yeah.
Well, Cerberus. Not I mean, that you're, I couldn't finish. You're red Cerberus.
No.
If you can find it and you have the time, like those are. Two, yeah. Like those are
they put
massive.
They called them the reprints were called Omnibus. They were so thick.
They were huge, but they're really Dave Stevens, I think, and it was I think he was it was the longest running. He was the longest running solo like creator. Nobody else did Cerberus. Dave Stevens. Dave Sims.
Yeah.
Was the only one that did it. And like to the point where he had to put out like 3 pages of original content in the back of like Dark Horse Presents just to keep that streak because he wanted the streak of the longest running independent creator owned comic ever. And
on
like
a
The Walking Dead was creeping.
Okay.
On it, and they were, he was just like,
"Well,
no,
it makes sense because zombies are
creepy.
So slow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they're very lumbering.
Very, right. But yeah, if you ever get a chance, it's intense. There's a lot to absorb with some Cerberus.
I've never read them.
Really?
Yeah,
I read the first book, and I was like, I can't do anymore. There's like 10, 12 volumes, and they're all
you wouldn't want to spend all your time reading comic books.
I know
Joe.
Who would want to do that.
No. Isn't Cerberus like a 3-headed dog? Isn't that the
Cerberus
name?
Is in Greek mythology?
Yeah,
yeah. But this is an aardvark.
It's aardvark.
Okay,
that has a sword.
Because your version is dumb.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Paul.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just real quick, shameless plug. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers, and if you are so inclined, you can even join our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers and get all sorts of extra content.
The latest episode is Mission Impossible, the first one. So we went back and reviewed that. So
I do love me some Brian De Palma.
There you go.
Peter Graves one?
Yes. Yeah.
We did the radio show.
Greg Morris.
Yeah.
This is not the first reboot of Mission Impossible, right?
Yeah.
they brought it back in the 80s.
Oh.
Like during there was a television writer's strike in the late 80s, and how network television got around it is they would produce new episodes of shows with old scripts.
Yep.
And they made some new Mission Impossibles with old scripts.
Was it the same team? I mean, obviously different actors.
I'm trying to remember how they did it.
But the song went dun 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 dun.
Ours is different.
Vanilla Ice did it. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Because I think they tried the same thing with there was a new Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple has been done 52
times.
Oh, sure,
ways. But they used the old scripts, but it was a black cast, and it was Ron Glass, who was Harris.
And DeMond Wilson,
yeah.
Sanford and Son.
Ron Glass was Harris on Barney Miller, mm-hmm. or for the listeners who aren't my age,
I know Barney Miller.
He was on Firefly, right? So,
he was on Firefly.
So, anyway,
I remember Barney Miller.
Yeah, Barney Miller's
great show.
Well, you're a cop.
True.
You have to be aware of Barney Miller.
I do have to correct you, Joe. Barney Miller was a great show if you watched it when it was on originally. I recently saw a rerun on MeTV or something like that, and holy cow, does it not hold up.
Really? As far as like content or like the jokes?
The material is just so tame.
Oh.
And they are pausing for the obvious laugh so often. Jack Sue has no non-joke line.
Is he still alive?
No,
he died during the show.
During the run of the show, because they did an episode where it was like a clip show. Apparently,
you didn't watch when it was on, Joe.
Well, no, I didn't watch when it was on. I watched it on like
From
Nick
the
Night.
Crib?
Yeah. He was always one of those actors where I was like, man, if I ever made a movie, I'd figure out a way to get him in there.
Well, you're not. You really have to jump through some hoops. Yeah.
You know what? Now you could have him dating Carrie Fisher.
Flower Drum Song 2.
What?
It was an all-Asian musical.
Oh.
And Jack So was in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's not offensive.
Can't
he was
believe
actually
you didn't
in the
know
movie.
That.
Yeah, sorry. I'm the musical guy that I am.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all of that. I guess let's dig into Mission Impossible, shall we?
I got to tell you, this is, like, we've said before that, like, Mission Impossible 4 is where they've turned these movies not so much into superhero movies, but into like these, they've taken the model of the Fast and Furious franchise where they're just like, we're just going to lean into the curve and make them insane.
Yeah.
Like I caught it.
But they're good. We're like, Fast and Furious is fun for what they are, but these movies are good.
These are good.
Yeah. Yeah, they are what they are. The Fast and Furious ones are like, okay, they are, exactly. They are what they are. We know what we're going to get with
those.
They
own it. These movies are like, they're putting in, not only are they amazing stunts, but like the, you know, everything about the script, the acting. These are
the
legit.
Cast together. Like, I like this team a lot.
I don't know that the scripts are that great. I think if you didn't have these great action scenes,
probably
you wouldn't
or you
have
had
much
the,
patience
the
for
actors
these stories.
Delivering.
Yeah.
The basics of a Mission Impossible movie for the last half dozen years has been an incomprehensible plot surrounded by unbelievable action sequences and stunts.
Have you ever watched a small child eat French fries?
Absolutely.
So, and it's basically the French fries are just a ketchup delivery device, right? That's Mission Impossible.
Right on.
Right? The story, the acting,
it is what
those
it
are
is.
The French fries.
Right.
And the action scenes, that's your ketchup.
How do they insure him?
I was thinking the same thing.
Because he doesn't make the movies without, like, he's in charge. Normally, like, if
but
he
you
was
still
got
to get insurance.
The insurance. The insurance company would be like, you're not jumping off of a helicopter.
The premiums are
$8 million deductible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he shut down this movie for 6 weeks when he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I was going to talk about that scene right now. It's nuts to see him get up and start running.
When you can tell he's hurt. And I thought...
I would think the second scene was filmed after.
No. He pulls himself.
It's all one shot. It's all one shot. And I watched a thing on a British talk show where they're showing the scene, but not from the movie, but like the footage they got of when he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
Right? And
you watched Graham Norton?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Facebook.
He has his moments.
The clips on Facebook.
Yeah. They're always on there.
And so he
jumps off the building.
He, you know, so the scene we're talking about, it's an amazing scene.
Yeah.
And that scene made me say something I hardly ever say at movies anymore, which is, how?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like any other movie, I'm like, well, yeah, that gets a CGI.
Got it.
Like, who cares? But like, I was like, how? It's like this this tracking shot of him running for like 10 or 15 seconds.
Not full tilt buggy. And not like jogging.
No.
Like sprinting.
He's Usain Bolting it across the top of a building.
Yeah, I'm shocked at how fast he
is. This was, I'm about to miss my flight. And my kids are already on it. Yeah. Right? Like, he across the top of a building, and then he runs without any hesitation.
Nope.
Jumps.
Yep.
Across and to land on the other building,
clips his ankle
and you know, misses the building and hangs onto the edge, which was part of the stunt that was intended.
And when he does that, the screening I saw, every single person in the crowd went, "Ooh,
yeah!" Ooh. And in real life, he hits his ankle and it snaps.
Yep,
I mean it. You know,
and he pulls himself up and goes back
and
into a sprint.
And the first off, the angle never. Cuts. You see him run away from behind, like the camera angle is still from behind, and he's limping. Yep. And I thought it was just like a choice he made as an actor, but like it's because he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
So when you see the shot from the other angle, like he's got the exact same limp, and they said, and Simon Pegg's in the interview too, and he's like, "This is what makes Tom Cruise Tom Cruise." They're like, "Why did you get up and run when you knew you just broke your ankle?" And he's like, "Because I knew as soon as I hit the wall, I just shut down production for 6 weeks." And he's like, "And I also knew that if I didn't get up and run, we were going to have to do the shot again."
He's like, "I'm getting the shot."
And so he's like, "So I pulled myself up and I ran past the camera and then I collapsed."
Yeah.
Because he heard the producer's voice saying, "Get up and run." And he's the producer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But as much as Tom Cruise and his personal dealings can irritate and weird me out, you gotta have respect for the dude that in that moment that he could do all that and still be like, "Oh, well, if I give into the pain, I just ruined the shot.
And I have to do it again.
And I got to do it again."
Yeah.
And maybe I misspoke. What I meant was, I know he gets up and runs, but then after that, he's running full speed across that building. I'm like, that was not he broke his ankle.
Like, so there's a shot of him limping.
Yeah.
And then not too long later, you see him running.
That's what I was referring to. I'm like, he didn't break his ankle and then run 20 miles an hour across a building.
Carrie Strug.
He ran past the camera, then they stopped, then they came back. That's all I meant. But no, it was incredible. And I mean, let's be fair, like his crazy life, whatever it is, and it's his life, like it's a lot better, at least what we know of, than some other people's crazy personal lives. So you know what, if he wants
it's
to,
it's weird, like when you, it's,
I don't know. I you know, like I,
you see him in that when going you, clear doc
when
and you're
you
just
see,
like
yeah when you yeah. see some of the stuff that Scientology is accused of doing,
yeah,
and there's a reason Katie Holmes took her child
and
left.
He funds a large part of that. Like, you, so like,
I don't know, I never saw it. What do they do?
Oh my god, like
it's nuts.
It's like you just need to see it, like
go watch going clear.
And I don't even want to try and attempt to say what they do, because if I get it wrong and they ever hear it,
they're gonna come and videotape us. It's gonna be a mess.
I guess I just mean I don't hear about it, so I figure it's not making headlines,
because that they have an entire staff that does nothing but do everything they can to make sure you don't hear about it.
Right. They like, are the Westboro Baptist Church turned up to 20.
Well,
but I mean, like, the Westboro Baptist Church is full of lawyers.
Oh, from that angle.
Yeah.
I was like, they're not as hateful.
Like, they're not as hateful. But I mean, like, they're full of lawyers. So they have all these legal loopholes, which is what Scientology does. It's just all of these different loopholes. But it's a cult. I mean, that's basically what it is.
It's hard not to see it that way.
But go watch Going Clear. Watch him in that doc.
Yeah.
And you're just like, whoa.
Oh, okay.
And
there's
a book too called Going Clear that goes into more detail.
You've heard of the Amish?
Mm-hmm.
This is just like that.
Hmm.
No, it's not.
It's actually the exact opposite.
Scientology is awful, but they make wonderful quilts.
Yeah.
They're furniture. You can go out to mid-Missouri and get it.
Fantastic jams and jellies.
Right.
So,
shoe fly pie.
Yeah. That's where you get the phrase Scientology. That's my jam.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
But
now you're aware.
But you should see the documentary.
It's
on HBO.
All right. Yeah. Well, all that aside, he makes some damn good action movies.
He does.
He does.
Yep.
That
and he still has that, like, as much as I don't like him outside of action movies, that dude has a presence on screen. Like he's never lost that.
I think he's going to have a career.
Maybe.
I mean, there's no. He's been going since the '80s with a very small gap in the couch jumping, you know, timeline.
I don't think there was a gap.
There was.
Was there?
He was gone after that couch jumping thing. It was okay. Tough for him for a while. But yeah. Then he came back and he's never, you know, he's never stopped. So now what's interesting is from what I recall, and now again, we just watched one recently. I've seen that several times. 2 and 3 I saw in theaters, never watched again. 4 and 5 I'm pretty familiar with. But it doesn't seem like the other ones ever really left a big cliffhanger or continued like this one did. Because this one is almost like Mission Impossible, you know, Rogue Nation Part 2. Like,
yeah,
this,
basically. Yeah.
Like, if you didn't see, usually I would say, okay, each Mission Impossible is contained, action, whatever, you know, they close the story and it's on to the next one. But this one, I mean, they have the same villain as the fifth movie. Like, okay, I didn't think we were going to see that guy again.
I thought he was, yes, you're right.
You know, because they let him live, and that's the guy that they, I mean, that's the guy in the beginning that, like, kills the girl in the when he's getting that mission, you know,
right.
And they say we've infiltrated. Like, this is a direct continuation. So I would say if you haven't seen the fifth one,
you probably go back and
go
watch
back
that.
And watch it because it leads right into it.
Well, there's
that's Rogue Nation, right?
Rogue
yes.
Nation. Yeah.
There's Ghost Protocol, mm-hmm. Rogue Nation, and then this one.
I keep track of them because alphabetically, Ghost Protocol is before Rogue Nation. That's how I remember because I always
that's
get
actually
the two
pretty
confused.
Smart.
Yeah. So yeah, Ghost is
four. So then this is a prequel.
Bingo. Yeah, no, it ends with that, but 4 and 5. Yeah.
But yeah, like, you honestly, you may need to go back and see 3 to understand.
But yeah, that, I mean, I don't remember. I saw 3 in theaters in 2000.
He got married, and then I think they've never really referenced his wife again, right?
They don't. They allude to the relationship between him and Rebecca Ferguson in the last one, where even Ving Rhames in this one kind of says he's cared about two women. And one of them is gone, and the other one is you.
But I've never heard them in the other ones reference like this one because she's in it, obviously.
I think maybe they thought 3 was it.
Well, there was a gap, right? So
yeah,
like,
there's a big
4
gap
was
between
the soft reboot. I mean, yeah. 4 came back, directed by Brad Bird, Ghost Protocol was awesome.
So Abrams did 3.
Abrams did 3. Yeah, John Woo did 2. And so, yeah, so after 3, there was that big gap. And so what I'm guessing,
3 came out in 2006, and then 4 came out in 2011.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay.
So what I'm guessing happened was she was in 3, and then, you know, casting changed. That's a long time apart, and then they had to write her off. And so I don't remember them doing it, but I guess in 4, maybe there's
an offhand.
They
never did.
No, yeah. They just,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But
because 4's cast is,
I'm really not that up on the mythology of Mission Impossible. And if you want to know why there was that gap in between them,
is that the crazy time?
Here's what came out in between 3 and 4: Lions for Lambs, Valkyrie, Night and Day. Guess I'll make a Mission Impossible movie.
Well, Night and Day is the steering into the curve.
Yeah. Night and Day, I like Night and Day.
I do too.
So Valkyrie is written by Chris McQuarrie.
Yeah, there you go. Definitely, and like, once he likes you, you're his guy.
Yeah, and now he's his writer and director. Like, if you look at McQuarrie's credits,
it's almost all
Tom Cruise.
Did he
stuff.
Do Jack Reacher movies
yep.
too?
He, okay, directed the he wrote and directed the first one. He also wrote The Usual. So he was a Bryan Singer guy because he wrote Usual Suspects.
Glad he got out of there.
And then, yeah.
Oh, this is the dude that wrote the script for Usual Suspects on a napkin when he worked at Blockbuster or whatever, and people would go into the video store and he'd say, hey, I'm writing this movie, and like, yeah,
and they gave it to Singer.
Sure, guy. And he gave it to Singer, and he, wow, okay, that's who
and
it
then,
is.
And then, because Singer directed Valkyrie.
Yeah, I know that story, and I always forget who it is.
Yeah, Chris McQuarrie.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only hit movie he has in that period is Tropic Thunder, which is not a Tom Cruise movie. Yeah.
So, okay. What was the first one?
So after Mission Impossible 3, it goes Lions for Lambs.
It's
an Iraq war movie. It was like, you know.
Is that with Redford?
I think it's like an anthology movie, isn't it? Like, there's 3 different stories
within it.
I think so,
yeah.
But they're all about, like, the Iraq war's bad.
I saw Valkyrie in theaters. I thought it
Valkyrie's
was pretty
not
cool.
Bad.
But
it never really got any.
I mean, no one talks about it, but I thought it was cool.
To me, that's the end of Singer. Like, Singer does X2, and then he does Superman, which. And then he does Valkyrie.
Oh, I didn't even know that was Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, Valkyrie Singer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess in 3, he gets married, and then we're supposed to infer that it didn't work out and they went their separate ways because I you know, having seen 4 and 5 a couple of times, I just didn't even remember he was married. So in this one,
they almost make him asexual in Ghost Protocol, and then they bring in Rebecca Ferguson as a love interest.
Yeah.
In 4 and 5.
I just figure these guys, like, from my point of view, it was always exactly what they say in this movie. Like, I mean, it's the James Bond thing. If you get close to someone, they're going to use them against you. Like, you, they're leverage. And it's,
which is what Ving Rhames, I mean, he breaks it down in this about what happened between him and Michelle Monaghan.
So I always just took it as like this, you know, the job comes first. And if he gets close to anyone, they get hurt. I mean, that's a trope. They say that in all the spy movies.
Right.
I mean, it's just why, you know, we can't ever be together because then,
but
it's
what
a superhero.
But
that's
how you know the story is unimportant, ultimately, is when they give the exposition to Ving Rhames.
That's true,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
who has the weirdest story I've seen this week, where, like, he got held at gunpoint by the police because neighbors thought that
there's
black
a big black guy going into this house.
In his own house.
Yeah. His own house. Yeah. Yes. He opens the door and there are guns drawn and the cops are there. What are you doing here?
At his
it's
house.
My house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
here's
awful.
The other side
that's
of the
Dave
equation.
Chappelle joke where he's like, I've seen this once when I was a rookie. Apparently he broke in and hung up pictures of his family everywhere.
Like, how are you neighbors with Ving Rhames and not
and
know
not
it?
Know?
Like he's not a small man.
He's not a subtle presence.
That's just awful. I mean, how do you think that makes Ving Rhames feel that his neighbors are...
Well, you know, he said, what if my son had answered the door and he has his phone in his hand and the cop who sees that doesn't know that?
Yep. You've got a whole different situation.
That's just awful. But
and then the cops took Ving Rhames over to that neighbor and introduced him and said, by the way, the guy you thought was burglarizing that house?
They did?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So he even knows who it was.
Good for the cops.
And that's great.
And then absolutely.
And then he went medieval on their ass.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But, yeah, so this one starts...
you know he's mad when he takes the Band-Aid on the back of his neck.
Oh, that's bad news. Yeah, that's you know, it's serious stuff.
It's like when a woman takes off her hoop earrings.
But, you know, I get it. You go to these movies for the action. There's no doubt. It's,
yes.
The action is like no others. Chris McQuarrie is the only person to ever get a second Mission Impossible. We mentioned each director has, it's been a different director. And so he returns from the fifth one.
He's done
one.
The last three.
No.
Yeah. He did Ghost Protocol.
No.
He did
Brad Bird did Ghost Protocol.
We talk about that all the time. Remember?
So, oh, I get, all right. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
But so he's the only one to return with this one. And, you know, he knows the stuff. I mean, Rogue Nation was good. I think it only paled in comparison because Ghost Protocol was so amazing. Like, Five on its own is a good movie. It's just,
oh, absolutely.
It had to follow up Ghost.
Yeah.
Is Ghost Protocol the building climbing movie?
Is that the Kremlin?
Ghost Protocol
is the Kremlin,
yeah.
That he gets through the Papa John's?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
But it has a lot, but it's the building one where,
where he's climbing that skyscraper.
Yeah,
like that's
amazing.
And the shot from, like, above him where it's looking,
And it's got the parking garage climax where they're trying, like, they're having a high-speed chase within a parking garage.
Oh, yeah, right. Does he drive it off backwards?
I think something like that.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That was cool.
So, yeah.
While they have to defuse a bomb somewhere. Right.
Yeah, and, you know, and what Paul said is true. I mean, we talked about the first one. Like, growing up as a kid, I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. But he comes down from a ceiling. It's really cool. And, like, I'm like, who's what? Like, there's so many double crosses. Everyone's always, like, they're dead. They're alive. This guy's screwing me over. This person's on my team. Like,
right.
It is very convoluted. But, you know, if you like the spy thriller type stuff, it's exciting. Like,
if you like the airport novel version of a spy movie, that's what this is.
I think,
and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, it's a spy movie.
I almost feel like with this movie, like, we don't even need to talk about the story. We should just go through and review
the action
beats.
I'm totally cool with
that. Like, that's what really matters.
Yeah.
You know,
we should say so. Yeah. So opens up.
Just talk about ketchup.
But they're not. You know, the main thing is that, like,
ketchup.
They're. It seems like every other movie, or maybe every movie, it's like he's disavowed, he's on the run. Then they find out, oh, guess what? Ethan Hunt isn't the bad guy. Then the next time, like, oh, he must be the bad guy because we have this evidence. But it's like, oh, no, Ethan Hunt isn't. He saved the day again.
Right.
Oh, no, we found some evidence. Ethan Hunt must be a terrorist.
Like, well, we didn't even find evidence. Somebody said.
Yeah, right.
There is the scene in this where when Henry Cavill hands Angela Bassett the phone.
Yeah.
Where I was like, well, it's not even the same phone.
Well,
like the phone you took off the guy was shattered, and this one's got a completely... fix the screen.
No, but we know that. That's what I want to say. I mean, I know we're jumping ahead here, but we were supposed to know he was the bad guy from that point, right? Like, that wasn't something where the audience is like...
Am I the only one who saw U.S. Marshals?
No, but it's been a long time.
That's where Robert Downey Jr. Is the guy who Lee Jones has to take along, and if you don't know right then that he's the bad guy,
same thing in this one. As soon as he comes along, we know. What I mean, though, is that we knew. I mean, we know that phone was
so
a
here,
plan.
I was thinking it's either Alec Baldwin or it's Angela Bassett. Like, that's the... I was hoping against hope that I was like, yeah, it's only a three-man team. We can add Henry Cavill to this team. Why not? He doesn't have anything else going on.
Because he's not very good?
Oh, I don't know. He's horrible.
Talk about an actor with no charisma at all. Which is so weird.
His delivery is so bad.
It's like he had it surgically removed.
I wanted to like him. It's because when he does his American accent, he can only be stoic. Like, he's just like... This is my delivery. He's like, no, I'm sorry, that was like John Wayne. I don't know why I did that, but he's trying to be like so deep and gruff and American, and it's like it makes his performance so bad.
Yes.
And I want to like him because he has a good look. Like he has the star qualities, but his delivery,
except for the talking.
Yeah, he needs to only do movies where he can use his British accent. Because
there's a Vanity Fair like 5-minute video of him and Simon Pegg talking about British slang. And it's like, there's the guy.
He needs to stick with that. That's the British guy.
It's weird because like I don't mind his Superman, but it's the same. This is the same.
But it's this. Yeah. Where it's just like it's hard for him to be as charismatic as like a Chris Reeves because he's trying so hard to keep American.
The accent. Yeah.
And it's that when it's not natural. Right. And so like in this movie, again, I wanted to like him, but I'm like, I wanted to ask, I'm like, does anyone else think he's good? Cause he's not.
I thought
like,
he was serviceable.
Yeah. I thought he got better I think he got better once
when he was able to loosen up a little bit.
When he was allowed to like be the bad guy, like when he didn't have to hide it anymore, I felt like he got better, but I'm still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he's still a rookie. Like, as far as, like, films, he's not... I mean, he's only done three...
He was in The Count of Monte Cristo with Guy Pearce and Jim Caviezel 20 years ago.
Okay, so he's done one movie, and then he wasn't on anything else. He was on a TV, I think.
I don't think so.
But then he was in that awful Immortals movie.
Yeah.
Then he was Superman.
He's been around for a while, Joe. We can't give him a pass because...
I'm not giving him a pass, but it's also, like, he's... He's not. I don't think he's a seasoned actor yet.
Well, then don't give him these roles.
Don't put him in these movies.
I didn't put him in the movies.
But there's a lot of actors, Joe, that are really great. That from a young Tim Chalamet or whatever. What's his name?
Something like that.
Chalamet, the French kid that's 17, 18 or whatever. That's in all these movies. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that's not an excuse. Is all I'm saying. We can't say, oh, but you know what? Like he's not a seasoned actor. Blah. Yeah. You don't cast people that are bad at acting.
You know who else is not a seasoned actor? The four of us.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm not getting these roles. Yeah, exactly. Right. So I don't know.
And we can do an American accent.
Yeah, exactly. I won't even have to struggle. I just do it. But anyway, but my only question is before we go back, like in that scene, like so there's that big, huge action scene, which was awesome. Great choreography in the bathroom. And then CIA guy, whatever, Walker, played by what's his face, Superman.
Henry Cavill.
He goes to his handler and he says, I found this phone. Here's all the evidence. I think Ethan Hunt is the bad guy. From that moment, we obviously know Ethan Hunt isn't a bad guy. And then also we know that this phone appeared out of nowhere. We are supposed to know he's the bad guy at that point, right?
I think so. They definitely let you think that. But given the way these movies operate.
Oh, you thought it might be a double.
You don't know until you get to the actual reveal because they are constantly giving you.
Because that's my question. Was this a reveal or a hint? Because at this point, I mean, to me, it was like this wasn't a question. Like
I think in a different movie, that's obviously the tell.
Yeah.
But in movies like this where it's just like, oh, he's wearing a mask. That's not the same guy. This has been like there's been a plan from the get-go that Henry Cavill has been brought in on. So like in this movie,
I see what you're saying. Because my real question is when they quote unquote reveal him as a bad guy, was anyone shocked? That's my question.
No.
I'm like I knew that.
I saw U.S. Marshals,
right?
And I have zero investment in the story. Somebody needs to start driving fast.
Like, yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
Jump off something,
right?
And can you tell me this while you're jumping off something?
You mentioned the bathroom fight, which is a big long set piece.
Great set piece. Yeah.
Didn't I see that in True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
You did see a bathroom fight in True Lies.
Very much the same, though. I'm going to pull this piece of plumbing out of the wall and use it as a weapon.
That's true. He does do that, doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, that I thought it was awesome, and maybe I just don't remember because it's been so long. But, I mean, I guess at some point we could... I bet we've seen a lot of action scenes that have a lot
Nobody
of similarities.
Nobody rides a horse in this movie, though.
No, that's true. Not through the Marriott lobby.
Tries to jump off a building.
Yeah.
But so how does this start off? So this is, so he's, oh, so he's having a dream sequence.
He's having a dream. It's
a
dream.
So in the end of the last movie, Rebecca Ferguson says, come with me, leave everything behind. And so they kind of leave it like you don't know what happened, because in this movie it starts off and it looks like they're getting married. So you're like, oh my gosh, they did.
Well, that's Michelle Monaghan.
No, that's...
No. Michelle Monaghan is who he's getting married to in the beginning of this movie.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. Rebecca Ferguson doesn't show up until the bathroom.
Right.
Oh, so this, see, and I didn't even know.
Yeah, okay, they're getting married there, and then Thanos kills him.
Correct. He snaps his fingers. Everybody turns to dust.
Yeah. Oh, that was...
Yeah, so that was Michelle Monaghan from 3.
See, and I didn't know he was married. That's what was confusing to me. I just figured that was...
Right.
Okay, got
and
it.
And the guy, and he's getting married by the bad guy from 5.
5, yeah.
Right. So then he wakes up, and we find out that Ethan and Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames are on a mission to get these 3 cubes of plutonium.
Now, before you go on to that mission, let me just back up.
Those are spheres, by
spheres,
the way.
Yeah, not cubes, spheres.
Because there's always the scene in which he has to find out what his mission is.
Correct.
And it's delivered to him in an envelope that has
different
a Homer's Odyssey
voice
in it, and he opens it up, and in there is the tiny little reel-to-reel
player. The old-timey reel, yeah.
Good luck finding one of those in the 21st century. I used those when I started out in my radio career for 30 years. There is no such thing as a reel-to-reel player of any size.
I feel like IMF may have some just laying around. They feel free to just burn.
No, the only reason it exists is because of the self-destruct smoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of this, you know, because you can't have an MP3 self-destruct with smoke coming out of it.
I mean, I completely suspend disbelief. When you're talking about James Bond gadgets, when you're talking about Mission Impossible, like, I love that. I love that he gets it on.
I will say, on the device that tells him his mission, I give him a pass because, one, you want to see it.
But right. Two, yeah, right.
But two, because logically in my head, the what I wrap it up in is you want to provide this information to him in a way that isn't easily transmissible.
Right.
So, like, if you send him an MP3, it's really easy to forward that. You know what I'm saying? So it's... By using a physical copy of an incredibly antiquated device, it ends up making it even more of a secure delivery system.
It's better than making it like a Netflix movie that you downloaded to your iPad and you only have a certain number of minutes to watch.
Yeah.
After you watch this movie, it will self-destruct. Yeah. And then your iPad, hey, why is the device doing that?
That was $400.
Yeah. Man, Sony's DRM is really good.
And I also love that, speaking of DRM, that not only is it one physical copy on this antiquated old player, but he scans his DNA. He has to take a blood sample, and it only activates... So I'm like, that's even another layer. Like, that's the spy stuff. That's the part of the story that I love. I want to see the gadgets. I want to see that intrigue.
Also, it's a reel-to-reel audio player that projects images on a wall.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's an audio player.
Little R2-D2.
It's obviously a film reel. I mean,
no, that's a reel-to-reel audio player.
I think
we're talking about spy technology.
I know.
It's obviously film in this
world.
Of
all the things we're going to argue with, I feel like the reel-to-reel radio guy... probably knows what he's talking about.
No, it doesn't bother me is what I'm saying. Like, you cannot convince me that that's a problem. Like, it's a movie about spies.
It's just
that's
one of
all.
My pet peeves.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like, I didn't leave the theater after that or anything.
I'm sure Paul's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Did you stand up and people had to tell you to get down, Paul?
No.
Sit down.
No.
But anyway, so...
I stood up, but nobody had to tell me to get
down. You just stood up the whole movie. It's like, oh, I can see better now.
Yeah.
They were out of booster seats.
Right. Yeah.
So much nicer.
Yeah.
So our 3 main characters. Jace, Jeremy Renner's gone. We have no idea what happened to him.
Yeah. Well, he married him at the end of the 4th one.
That's right.
And so I think we'll find out what happens in the next one.
Fair enough. The deal goes south because Ving Rhames gets kidnapped, or taken hostage. Tom Cruise has to make a choice where it's like either shoot Ving Rhames and get the plutonium or... No, shoot Ving Rhames, let his partner die and take the plutonium or save his partner and it gets stolen.
I love how they get out of these situations because I'm like, how is he going to get out of this?
And
he
has
a shooting Ving Rhames and he has a bulletproof vest. I'm like, that's smart. That's
and the
really...
plutonium gets taken.
It's 48 hours.
It is 48 hours. It's
shot me in the shoulder.
It's speed. You're getting a medal for shooting me in the ass, you jerk.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like, that is the one dumb move where it's like, but he went to go check on Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
And someone snuck off with the plutonium.
Sneak, sneak,
like,
sneak. Also, like, Simon Pegg, what are you doing, buddy? Like,
yeah,
go
like,
get the plutonium.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was
God love you. I love you. But yeah, come on.
That the setup was when talking about writing and the story. Like, that was the only thing I had a problem with. Where I'm like, come on, these guys are better than
he's
that.
He's been kind of MIA too, hasn't he?
Pegg?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, he was just in Ready Player One.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to do. I wonder if him and Edgar Wright.
God, he's in everything. He was in Star Wars: The Force Awakens. Like that.
Well,
guy
that doesn't
really
count.
But I'm just saying, like, this guy is in
every pop.
Yeah. He's in Star Trek. He's in
Star Wars.
Trek,
yeah,
at
that's true.
Force Awakens is that right. One, you know, small character. He's in these Mission Impossible movies. Yeah, it's just, I'm amazed how that guy, because of his geek cred,
that's exactly
since
it.
The Edgar Wright stuff, it's like, man,
I have not revisited Shaun of the Dead in probably a couple of years. I need to go back.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Obviously, yeah, it's so good.
So
they sneak off with the plutonium, the bad guys.
Right.
And they work, we should say, so the bad guy from 5 was a part of this larger, you know, this splinter cell has now
the apostles
turned into the apostles. Yeah. And so all the ones that they couldn't locate and track down have now formed this new group.
Right.
And they are trying to break, eventually we find out they are trying to get the bad guy from 5
right.
out of jail and get him back.
Right. So we go back to the States and we're reintroduced to Alec Baldwin, who I actually liked this scene a lot, where he's just like, look, man, when I left the CIA to come here, like, everybody told me it was a bad idea. He's like, the only reason I'm back here.
It was a lateral move, maybe a little worse. Yeah.
He's like, the only reason I'm back here is I've got 2 days left until I get until I retire. And
he said that?
No.
Oh, I'm like, God.
You might as well.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, oh, my
but
God.
I'm getting too old for this.
I'm getting too old for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I came back here for you.
Yeah.
And
then they
know,
kiss.
They did. That's always been the rumor.
It was touching.
Yeah.
And then they were married.
Yeah. You know, you don't get married just
now.
By kissing, right?
It's Mission Impossible no more.
Yeah. So now we're introduced to Angela Bassett, who's the head of the CIA. She brings in her heavy, and it's Henry Cavill. And, like, I feel like, if he didn't talk,
yeah,
you know,
you're really.
I was just about to say, you're really reaching.
No, but I mean, like,
for ways to accept
his
him.
His face didn't look weird.
Why do you like him so much? Like, I'm just saying,
because
he's dreamy.
He's a sucker for mustaches.
Yeah, he's a dreamy dude. But like, I feel like he was in that first Man of Steel. I was like, okay, like we've got a pretty good Superman. And then the other two movies happen. Yeah. It's like Jesus Christ.
He wasn't the problem. I don't think with the Superman movies.
No, he wasn't.
No, it's I know. But I mean, yeah. like, it's he doesn't. He's not given anything to do.
Right.
It's it's wasted potential.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
But it's because,
like,
you love Superman.
Also
you see
true.
That he could be a really good Superman.
He could be a really good Superman if they just let him relax. Like, I feel like you're right.
Yeah.
He's always stiff.
Every character they have him be, he has to be this big, tough, strong American, you know, and so now he's got to put the accent on. Now, Man from U.N.C.L.E., he got to use his British accent, right?
Okay, that was the other one. Oh, see, I like that movie.
My God.
But he got to show that he could be fun and have charisma, and, like, that's where he needs to live.
Also, a great fight scene in the bathroom.
Was there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was.
When he fights Winklevoss
twins. Was he at a fair or something? Is that when he was at
No, it's the first time he meets the Winklevoss.
Army Hammer.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's a good fight scene.
Yeah. It showed what he could do there. So, yeah, he needs to stay there. But they introduce him, and instantly, like, he's going to come along. And like Paul says, I mean, if you've seen a movie before, like, you know that this guy's the bad guy. And then, plus, like, he had to have a mustache in this movie. He couldn't shave it to do the reshoots for Justice League. And the reason why, and I think I said it earlier, is because we had to twirl it. I mean, it couldn't be any more obvious that, like, you know, they gave him a mustache because he's the villain.
It's funny how I was like, oh, yeah, he does look normal. Because I feel like there's barely any of, like, normal face Henry Cavill in Justice League. Because it was all reshoots.
Well, right.
Like, all of his stuff was reshoots.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, yeah, he does look like a normal person. I forgot.
You thought he was an alien. Well, really an alien.
When he twirled his mustache, were you expecting?
Yeah. I thought he was going to tie Rebecca Ferguson to a railroad track.
I am going to say, if they ever recast Black Widow, that's who's Black Widow. Right, Rebecca Ferguson.
Henry Cavill's
your new Black Widow. He's so versatile.
He would look great in that outfit.
But yeah, Rebecca Ferguson's your new Black Widow for sure. If they ever have to recast
her. She isn't The Greatest Showman. You should see it, Joe.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not all musicals are like Mamma Mia.
Yes. Yeah, in defense of musicals. Yes.
We should probably do an episode to make him see a good one.
You've burned your bridge.
Maybe.
Yeah, you made me see that
I
one.
I just realized, we made Joe see a musical, and now he thinks that's all. He's like, I was right the whole time.
No, I don't think they're all. I just don't care.
Yeah. She was awesome. I remember seeing the fifth one and
she's
how
bad
that
ass.
Right?
Yeah.
That first scene when he's being tortured and he's hanging up and she like, you know,
she
lets him
in
on it and then, you know, she attacks the guy and they're both going.
Well, that's
at,
the
yeah.
thing is like, so we're led to believe that she gets out of MI6, which is a missed opportunity for this movie. I don't know why they didn't call it MI6. Because, you know.
It's just been confusing.
That's probably true.
Right, because
yeah.
it's not about MI6.
Right.
Is that a new Bond movie?
Yeah.
So she was in deep cover with this, with the bad guy.
Yeah.
So she is brought back and he's, you know, Tom Cruise is like, I thought you were out. And she's like, I can't be out because they think I've got too much information on this guy.
So every time I'm out, they pull me back in.
They pull me back in. So there, we're led to, we find out that MI6 will not let Rebecca Ferguson go because she has too much information on this bad guy and too much information that is damaging.
It's like being a part of the mob. Like, you don't ever get out.
Yeah.
And if you do get out, there's one way, and it's cement around your
shoes. You're shot on the... Or you have a heart attack.
Right. Okay,
does he have a heart attack in the third one? Does he have a heart attack in the third one?
Which who?
I'm guessing he's talking about
Michael?
Godfather.
Well, I mean... Vito has a heart attack at the end of the first one.
Right, but doesn't Michael have a heart
attack
in the
third
one?
Yeah, he dies in the basically the exact
same
way,
right?
That his father did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's only many one ways out when you're in the mob. I mean, death
natural
is the one
causes.
Way, but then it's many, yeah, yes. Right.
Poor Sonny.
So we don't really know what she's doing, but eventually, to skip ahead, we find out that she is trying to kill the bad guy.
So she can get out.
But he needs the bad guy because he is going to trade the bad guy for the plutonium he let get away.
Right.
So they're in this back and forth struggle against each other. You know, they're fighting each other while they're also trying to save as many lives as possible.
Yes.
So it's a, there's a lot of good action scenes where you've got Rebecca Ferguson in the, you know, peripheral, you know,
man, that
on the motorcycle.
That chase scene was nuts.
Yeah. I mean, that
the motorcycle.
Yeah.
The motorcycle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow,
I mean,
was right.
Awesome.
And I'm so jaded on movies, but I was just like, wow.
And that's the thing this movie does is it's, you know, not just one scene, but all these action scenes. We've seen so much, but yet when we watch this movie, each action scene, it actually makes you remember what it's like going to the theater and seeing a big movie.
It does.
Like, we are so jaded, but yet this movie can do that,
it's
which
amazing
I think
what you
is,
can do with practical effects.
I also thought it was interesting in the motorcycle chase scene that he didn't wear a helmet.
Didn't wear a helmet.
Like, we talk about how they normally, they just slap a helmet on you because they can have anybody drive a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's another one.
Tom Cruise.
And, like, Rebecca Ferguson wears a helmet because obviously it's not her.
Right.
But,
Cavill doesn't wear a helmet either.
Now how much of that, I know he does his own stunts, but there's only so far. Like, Tom Cruise cannot drive a motorcycle and a car.
You shut your whore mouth.
Through traffic.
Tom Cruise can too.
And cars crossing.
Think,
it's like, you know, there's...
I think it's not him. When they're shooting from behind,
yeah, it's CG
it's
on
him.
A face.
Oh, no. I think when they're shooting from behind, it's not him.
I think when you see his face, that's actually
that's
him.
That's what I think as well.
Yeah. But when he's going through intersections and stuff, it's like you just... It can't be him.
But that's not real traffic, Kevin. That's movie traffic.
No,
and
I know.
Stuff people have worked it out ahead of time.
No, I know that. But what
but
I'm saying
still
is... still
very intricate stunts.
Yes, you can't let Tom Cruise go through coordinated
I'd like to
stunts.
See you try to stop him.
Anyway. But yes, he does
I mean,
an amazing
somebody
amount.
Somebody died on Cannonball Run doing similar.
Somebody died on
the weaving
Night
and
Day.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Not Night and Day. What was the pilot one with him? With Tom Cruise?
Top Gun?
No, the most recent one.
Well, why are you acting like
American
I'm dumb
made.
For saying... That Tom
because
Cruise,
I would have, I know
you
top
said a
gun.
Pilot,
that's true.
Top
I did
gun, Tom Cruise
Oblivion,
movie
when he's
and
no,
I own
no,
a top
no.
gun. I
the,
don't
where
think
he's
I should
the smuggler.
Get mocked.
You're not mocked. You're right. You're, that's fair.
Oh yeah,
American
what was
that made.
Yeah, yeah. People died on that one too.
Yeah, yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, and then John Landis's career got ended because
so
of,
the whole point is that all stunts are dangerous. Deadpool 2 stunt motorcyclist.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So yeah, it's like so. There's Tom Cruise does his own stunts, but at some point they have to have stunt people because it's like he's not a professional car. You know, pull an e-brake, go 360 downstairs backwards. Like he just can't. And if
Marky Mark though,
and he's got other actors in the car with him. Like remember
correct.
They're all in the car, so like then
right,
you'd be putting
right.
their lives in time. It just it.
He's no
work.
Jason Statham.
Oh yeah, because he's yeah.
Did you that chase scene that you're talking about? I don't know if it was on the motorcycle or in the car. Which one was in Paris? Which one was in London? I can't remember.
So the one in the car is where he is being chased by Rebecca Ferguson,
and that's in London.
Yes.
Okay.
And then on the motorcycle is when they break. Out the bad guy.
And which is the one where the Ving Rhames and Simon Pegg are in the boat?
That is the...
That's Paris, right?
That is the motorcycle.
Yeah, in Paris.
Yes.
Yeah, those two seemed like they combined elements of the Bourne Identity
yep.
mm-hmm. with the remake of the Italian Job.
Yeah. That yep.
Which, by the way,
those,
is
yeah.
a really, really good movie.
Yeah. That remake of The Talent Job is fantastic.
There was also a little bit of French Connection going on.
I was thinking, yes, there's a lot of French Connection in that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like narrow misses and
driving under the bridge. Right. You know, like
trying to get a, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
That second one's not bad either.
It's okay.
It's okay.
You know that they made a TV show out of that.
I did know that.
Called Popeye Doyle.
Who played Popeye Doyle?
I believe it was Ed O'Neill from Modern Family.
Really?
Yeah.
As the Gene Hackman character?
Mm-hmm. Almost positive that's who played it.
I call him Al Bundy. That's hope forever. It was Al Bundy.
Interesting.
I think of him as the sports writer from Blue Chips.
Oh. Well.
Wow.
You're welcome.
I think of him as the police detective from The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Of course you do.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God. It all comes back to Ford Fairlane with you.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, they devise a plan where they're going to go. They know that this...
There's a meet going on.
With,
and it's not a meet cute. Although that girl is cute.
That girl is very cute.
It's,
it turns into a meet cute because Rebecca Ferguson shows back up.
I really like how they're self... Like, I like how they poke fun at themselves with the masks. Because Henry Cavill...
I love that it keeps coming back up.
For Henry Cavill...
From the first movie.
It was a key component of the television show.
The masks
like,
were?
Yeah, like that was their big thing on the TV show is these masks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Cavill's just like, you're out of your
But they never really
minds.
Address it, but in this one they do because Cavill's the voice of reason. Cavill's the CIA guy that's like, you guys in your masks. You're just going to put on masks and play Halloween dress up. And I love that.
I do
that,
like the way Peg's just like... Yeah.
And there's also that great scene where Simon Pegg says, I don't want to do this. Why does it have to be me? And Rain goes, look at you.
But it's all physical. Like, he just points to himself right. Yeah, it's great.
Pegg's just like, that's fair.
I mean, that's where Pegg really brings that humor. I mean, he's the
everyman.
Yeah.
He's us. He's the moviegoer in this movie.
Yeah. And he really lightens things up even in the serious situations. Mm-hmm. But so now the plan is and Henry Cavill has to tag along. They are going to go before the meet goes down with the widow.
The white widow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, come on.
But now think about this, because we just watched the first movie. She gives a speech at the party and talks about her mom, Max. So her mom is the hacker from the first Mission Impossible?
Oh, she is.
Really?
I read that.
Wow.
Yeah, because we just watched it. She's like, my mother,
I didn't even put
Max.
That together.
Yeah.
Nice callback
Vanessa
to the first movie.
Vanessa Redgrave.
Yeah, it was.
And who is this actress?
Nope.
Well, actually...
Why you got to be like that, Paul?
Well, I thought you guys would know.
But, well, Vanessa Kirby.
Okay.
And she's from... Else?
She's Jack Kirby's.
That would be great.
Vanessa Kirby is known for The Crown.
No idea.
Okay.
A TV show.
It's the Netflix show about the Queen.
No, I mean, I know what it is.
Isn't Emily Blunt?
In my defense.
That's fair. No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. She's in some, never mind. But anyway, so I thought she was good, and she looks familiar, but I couldn't tell who she was.
She kind of looks like the gal from Guardians 2.
Yeah.
The
bad guy.
Yeah. Maybe that's Adam Warlock. She kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
Guy.
So anyway, there's a meet going down between White Widow and this the connection to the what are those guys called?
The apostles.
The apostles.
Yeah.
And so they're
don't ever have supper with those guys.
Yeah.
There's always 12 of them. They eat all the food.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's your last one.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes.
And you have to wait for the painter.
Yeah. Right. Can we eat now?
Yeah, I'm starving.
Just one more minute.
Judas is like, Jesus, let's go. Seriously.
Literally.
Let's go.
Literally, Jesus, let's go.
Why does it have to be oil?
Take a picture. It will last longer.
Yeah. And it'll stick. Then Judas will stick you with
Judas
the check,
Judas will
too.
Stick you with the check. Yeah. So, well, he got all that silver. You'd think he'd pay for it.
Yeah, he had 40 pieces.
40 pieces.
The dude's rolling
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Kick in.
So,
just divide the bill by 12. Like we all
simple.
Shared in the app.
So the plan is that Henry Cavill and Tom Cruise, they are going to jump out of a plane.
Great
which
scene.
Is a really cool action scene. Very original action sequence of jumping out of the plane and the guy loses his oxygen and like lightning strikes him, so he's passed out, and Tom Cruise has to fight and get his oxygen.
I don't think it strikes him, because I feel like that would kill you.
But it
struck close. Like, I feel like they flew past.
He got knocked out from fear.
Sure.
No,
I mean, but like
probably from the electricity in the cloud, but not the lightning strike.
Lightning would have yeah. turned him into
Shazam. Well, that's
Shazam.
What I thought again.
You know, while he was going through the cloud, he should have grabbed like all his MP3s and pictures.
Yeah.
He could actually had him with him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just took this as it was ridiculous because like a volcano being close to Chris Pratt in Jurassic World, not burning him alive.
Right.
I took it as like, he got hit by lightning. I know that he would die, but I'm like, I guess it knocked him out because they have suits on and they're whatever.
Right.
But
jumping out of a plane. Have you seen the Tom Cruise, James Corden thing from a few nights ago?
No,
where he made Corden jump out of a plane?
Yeah.
Did they really do it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw the thumbnail. I didn't watch it.
Because he made a promise. He made a bet or something.
Yeah, it's about 8 minutes long, and it's actually very, very clever.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So they jump out of this plane. Again, the lightning strikes nearby, whatever. Walker is passed out.
Yeah.
And so they have this talk about oxygen before, so you know that it's going to come up. His oxygen line is disconnected, and so Tom Cruise has to fight and struggle with it while they're quickly descending, and they have to pull their parachute, or else they're going to, you know, splat. So he reconnects it, and then Tom Cruise ends up pulling his chute late, and he gets caught on the top of the building, and then, you know, it's just a really...
I do love... He gets caught, and then Cavill just kind of floats his way down, takes the thing off, and he was just like, you lost your oxygen.
And then you especially know he's the bad guy because you're like, what? Like, he just saved his life. Right. And it's like.
I don't know. I still kind of could see where he's just this doofy, unaware, arrogant prick.
Yep.
Really?
You know?
Yeah. Oh.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm just like, what a.
This is where we get it. They go into they've got these apps on their phone that tells them exactly where they need to go and to find the guy. They go into the bathroom.
And I do love this part of it that. Henry Cavill is the muscle. He's the brute.
He's the hammer.
Strength. And he just.
And the hammer is his penis.
That's why. Yep.
That's Army Hammer you're thinking of.
No, I was thinking of.
Yes.
But you haven't heard those stories?
That Army Hammer is packing?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had to CGI out his
they
winner.
They had to do
in.
The same thing to Brandon Routh.
Yeah, because it was.
See, I could be a movie star if they had CGI when I was just starting out.
To make
it
bigger?
Yeah, that's what the problem was.
So
I was going to do that Ron Jeremy biopic.
So the whole time
as the agent,
I've got the build.
So the whole time, you know, Henry Cavill just wants to smash everything, and Ethan Hunt's like, "Yeah, I've heard of you. The reason we don't have this evidence is because you shot the guy." And he can't, you know, so his solution to every problem
was just like,
is
business
to fight. And so Ethan shows him the face scanner technology and everything, and they eventually track down the guy in the bathroom. They have to wait for it to clear out.
Badass fight.
It's a great.
Yeah,
great
I do also like how. They've got the guy in the stall, and the four bros walk in, and they're just like, "Can we join? Can we?" I thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was great how they like because the whole like two guys in a stall doing something and people thinking it's a gay rendezvous.
Right,
we've seen it a million times, right?
Yeah.
But I thought it was really interesting how they did it in a way where it was still funny, but they weren't the butt of the joke.
Right.
Pun intended.
Sure.
You know, like it wasn't like, ha ha, gay people.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
There was like
it was
four,
just a bunch
four drunk
idiots.
Dudes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Trying to
and
rain
they're in
on
Paris,
their parade.
So they're speaking French this whole time and it just for the setting because they're going to go to London later. So this is the Paris scene. And so anyway, they eventually they're going to start scanning. They start scanning the guy's face, but then he starts to wake up.
Cavill just
and
takes,
so
the
takes
the
laptop
and just smashes him in the face.
Which breaks the technology, and so they're screwed at this point. And then, and Rebecca Ferguson.
Right.
So the guy comes.
We should say that the guy, in the our liaison guy, the guy, our target, pretty much wipes the floor with Cavill
awesome.
And Tom Cruise.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
And you know what? I kind of feel like this
stunt guy.
This is, you know, funded. This is an Asian funded film. I feel this is also to be like, we're not always going to have the American kicking ass.
Yeah,
like
he beats the Jesus.
He does.
Out of both
like,
yeah.
They make him the winner, but Rebecca Ferguson
the
is
best,
shadowing.
The best
them.
Line of the movie is Rebecca Ferguson shoots him, and then I think maybe Cavill shoots. Either way, he gets shot in the face.
Rebecca Ferguson shoots him. Yeah,
and
because he's about to kill one of them.
Oh right, right. And Cavill's like, can the face thing still work? And he was like, yeah, if there was
a face
to scan.
Yeah.
He was like, best line of the movie.
But
that was hilarious.
Yeah, so she's shadowing the whole time. Rebecca Ferguson, like we said, is always in the peripheral. She's following him around, and we find out eventually it's because the guy they're trying to get to trade, she's trying to kill. But he doesn't know that. We don't know what the connection is.
We don't find that out until London.
Yeah. So Cruise ends up saying, like, I'm just going to do it. Like, hopefully they don't know what this guy looks like.
Right. They've never met this guy. So he goes in and plays the part and makes a meet.
Another great action scene.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
With going through this club. Like, so he tells the White Widow, he's like, these guys around me, like, you're in danger. And he's like, they could be after me, but they could be after you. He's like, who are you going to trust? Your brother, who's like her security detail?
Goon brother.
Yeah. And so she starts walking out with him. Meanwhile, people are all around this club, you know, trying to shoot them, trying to tackle them.
Right.
And great choreography.
And again, they take out, and then Rebecca Ferguson, yeah, she stabs a guy.
The White Widow
awesome. Yeah,
has
right.
a knife, like a butterfly knife that she takes out of her garter, whips right. it around. Like, it's
stabs
awesome.
A guy.
I love the fact in these movies, even in the simpler action scenes, like, they're just fighting.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not over edited
no.
in the same
the
way that so many of these movies
is
are.
They stay on there's yeah. no cuts. There's
right.
no quick cuts. They
right.
you don't see Tom Cruise winding
no.
up for a punch and then it cuts
quick
and you
cuts.
See a fist.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Like it's they stay this
have you ever
is,
seen that video of on YouTube and it's called what is it? It's like how many edits does it take for Liam Neeson to jump a fence?
Sure,
oh, yeah.
And it's like 18
it's like 20. Yeah.
or 20
it's crazy.
Cuts.
And you got Tom Cruise trying to clear a 5-foot gap in a wall.
Right, yeah. just for him to climb over a fence.
Right. Yeah. It is unbelievable. But yeah, this another great action sequence.
This is what I'm talking about. These action movies, if you're going to do a hand-to-hand fighting sequences, these are the movies you need to pay attention to. Flicks like The Raid and The Raid 2 and all three of these movies by, or, you know, these, yeah, because even
John Wick,
like all of that stuff. Yeah. Deadpool, like you need to, like these are what you do.
We all know that, but see, here's the problem though. You have the producer is the star of these movies and he wants perfection.
Right.
When you have a studio that's on a time limit and a budget, like this movie, Tom Cruise is not going to let you do anything that's not incredible.
Right.
Like these movies are his franchise. They're his baby. He's going to make them amazing. But you know, the problem is with the other ones, like they're on a schedule and to get that kind of perfection with non-martial artists, like that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's just time and money against, you know.
Yeah. It's the cost of, we have to shoot with you for 3 days to get mm-hmm. this scene right, or we can shoot it for 1 day and then pay an editor a lot less
yeah, exactly.
to make it look good.
Yeah. Right. And which sucks, but I wish they could all be
that's
like
the thing,
this.
That's what I've always wanted to see in a Batman movie.
Yeah.
Is like, even in the Snyder stuff, there's quick cuts. So I'm just like, just let me
Nolan.
See. Nolan was, that Batman Begins was awful.
Oh.
He, like, go back and watch that first yeah. fight scene in, like, the shipping yard.
Okay.
Like, it's super tight. Like, it's, you
gotcha.
You
yeah,
you
it is close.
You know,
it is
like,
close, yeah.
out of all of the superheroes, Spider-Man, Captain America, and Batman are the ones that I want to see a pull
yeah.
out and just, like, let
Captain
them.
Captain America in that elevator was awesome.
The elevator, the mm-hmm. Batroc fight, like, yeah. he, like that. That's
they
how you're supposed
it.
To do that.
But anyway, so she trusts him, and now they're setting up the deal. And she's
right.
basically like, my brother, this is how it's going to work. You're going to go with their team. You're going to take a truck of guys. You're going to kill all the French police that are escorting bad guy from Five, whatever his name is.
Right.
And you're going to kill everyone and take him and bring him to us. And so, of course, Tom Cruise doesn't want to do that. But then they're starting to get suspicious. Like, you're this guy that unleashed all these diseases and killed people in all these countries.
Yeah.
And so he plays along.
Like, all right,
and
fine.
So we don't know how he's going to do it. But they've done this in a
Sherlock,
few times.
It's like a Sherlock
okay,
Holmes.
Yeah. He sees it. They did it like in Twilight, that last movie where... I wish everyone actually died, but they show it like he goes and they kill all the French police and he actually pulls the trigger, but it's just in his head.
Right.
And so the next day you see the same scene, like it's about to go down.
Correct.
But
this is the part where I was like, well, maybe Cavill is one of the good guys. Cause he's like, are we really going to do this? And he was just like, yeah. And he was just like, oh, okie dokie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, so I will give him that. Like, I will give the script credit where they don't really let on. Because these movies are so many twists and turns.
Well, they make you
question
yourself. Exactly.
Right.
It's there, but then you're questioning it. And
right.
Because of what we know, it's very well where you could be like, oh, well, maybe.
He's been in on it the whole time.
Basically, it looks like Cavill's setting him up, but it's like, well, maybe someone else planted that phone on Ethan. Like,
right.
I get
right.
where you
Or maybe Cavill's setting, like, Cavill's in with Ethan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
who knows
like, who
at this
knows?
Point? Yeah. So the next day, the thing goes down, and it's Cavill and Ethan in the truck full
right.
of the bad guys in the back of it.
I do love how he just keeps going forward and backwards.
That was
knocking
hilarious.
The bad guys out.
Yeah, that was really good. So their plan was they actually knocked the big SWAT truck with the villain they're trying to capture into the water.
Right.
They dump the guys out the back of the truck, and then they go through an alleyway, which I'm like, didn't we just see this in Solo?
Yeah.
I thought it was odd there were two movies so close to where the vehicle goes into a skinny alley.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this one was planned. They
right.
had two motorcycles sitting there. And then, I mean, we are off to the races.
Yeah, so Cavill takes off. Tom Cruise is, of course,
has trouble starting
his motorcycle
bike,
won't
yeah.
start. And then he takes off.
Yeah.
And this is where we get a, this is, I don't think
police
we get
chase.
Rebecca Ferguson yet.
Rebecca Ferguson has always been riding around again in the background.
Right,
she's like doing stuff while there, you know, so, but yeah, you just see these motorcycles cruising around, police chasing them. He's going through
this
traffic.
Is when he gets hit. This is that scene in the trailer where he goes over the hood of a car. Yeah.
And Simon Pegg rescues the bad guy who's
right.
like about to run out of breath. He brings an oxygen tank. Ving Rhames is waiting for him in a boat. But then Ethan calls to him and is like, we're going to need an evac point.
Evac,
which this was great
whatever.
Because he, I guess, purposefully crashes the bike
mm-hmm.
and starts limping away exactly where he wanted to. Where, you know, at first I'm like, crap, now how's he going to get out of this? But he takes his knife out and I'm like, is he going to throw down here with some? No,
nope.
He cuts a hole in this net and goes through like this skylight to the water
the,
passage
to the,
where
the
boat
sewers,
is.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and right in the boat. Bloop. Crazy. I'm like, this is so, they're so clever.
Yeah.
With
and
this
then,
stuff.
So we get the, this is where he goes back to.
There's the great, and I'm sorry if I missed.
No.
The great shot where he goes flying off the motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just, I mean.
Where
I,
he hits,
so,
he hits the front of a car. And it's weird, like. I had to see this in 3D because it was the only one that I could
oh,
see.
Oh, you did?
I had to. Like, it was the only one that worked for the
right,
time
right.
that I could see it.
I didn't even know there was a 3D release.
Yeah.
There weren't many people in my theater, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's still a thing because they hardly are. These 3D
yeah.
showings are few and far between.
It's
them.
Weird. Like, it has a, I don't know if it was the 3D, but it had a weird look where it's obvious he's not flying over the hood of a car. So, like, it.
Because he's so 3D.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, when they really film 3D, it's more realistic, obviously, because the lens is doing it. But when they do it in post...
It had, like, a weird uncanny
he's
valley.
He's, like, cut out in a green screen
yeah.
flying over. So, it's so, like, not a second layer, but it's, like, a third layer. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's
yeah.
so 3D that, yeah.
So, it took me out of it a little bit.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. So, this is where...
Because it didn't look like that in 2D at all. Every
it
single stunt
great
yeah.
in 2D.
Every stunt looked practical.
This is like, another scene where I was just
yeah.
like, how do they do this?
Yeah, you know, even the ones where you're like, well, there's some kind of help here, but nothing.
I picture Tom Cruise being
out.
Like, no, man, it's cool. Just hit me with the car.
Like this stuff
like,
in the helicopter?
Worry,
is he hanging from a helicopter
yes.
in the air or a green screen? Like,
no,
is he in...
I think in the air. I mean, I think it's kind of like Fury Road where
yeah.
they're
harnesses and
they're
nets
using
and
the
stuff,
CGI
yeah,
to
yeah.
To erase
oh, yeah,
harnesses.
Sure, sure.
Did they pull him up in the
yes.
air?
I think they
did. Looks like a GoPro, like you can tell it's a real, not like a normal cinema camera,
right?
But and I'm like, man, it really feels like there's a GoPro recording him on a helicopter.
Yeah, it was
so
nuts.
You think he actually slid down the rope in the air?
I do. I think I think he had a harness and stuff on,
yeah.
But I do believe he slid down that rope.
God, I don't that I feel like that would be the stuntman, but again, I don't know. But someone did.
This
it,
is also
I think.
The same guy who just cleared a, like a gap in a building. Was like, yeah, dude, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, 5 feet horizontal,
that's true.
A
yeah,
mile
yeah.
vertical.
I know. I yeah.
a little different.
Yeah, I will love. This is the movie that I will love to watch the special features of.
Yeah, for sure.
I need to know how they did
yeah.
every stunt because in my mind, again. It's so flawless that like you can't tell even when you know there's some assistance. I can't pick out like, oh, well, that is green screen.
Right.
That is what, you know, it looks real.
Yeah.
It's great.
Since we're talking about that helicopter scene, who
yeah.
takes their laundry on an escape?
I thought that was rocks.
I didn't.
Was it not rocks?
No.
I did not understand the payload thing. I'm like, that's awfully convenient that there's a payload on this helicopter. Not
it's like the
one.
Laundry from the town, isn't it?
No, I thought it was rocks.
Why would they be moving
I've
rocks?
Never seen a helicopter oh. dragging a basket of like it was weird. That was I didn't get it, but maybe
but
it
was the helicopter from Operation Dumbo Drop. If you guys have been paying attention, it's a shared universe.
I didn't even
it was
I didn't
a
realize
nice,
that.
It was a nice nod
yeah.
to the other movie.
Right.
So anyway, so
why would it be rocks? Why would they be carrying rocks?
Yeah, that would be very weird.
I don't know.
No, when a ball that size, a helicopter is going to have a lot of trouble getting off the ground, don't you think?
Yes, I do.
The town in question is like a hospital town, or
and they're
like
running
up,
and they're running out of rocks.
Yeah.
Running,
and or they have too
the
many. No,
right.
they're,
yeah.
and but the town over was running out of rocks, so they're it's a
was it. It was a barter system.
It's a,
that's
yeah.
business in Pakistan.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, so at the end of this, though, so they take the bad guy, and where do they take him? I can't even remember.
So, they take him to, like, the sewers.
Yeah.
And this is where we get Alec Baldwin shows back up, and he's like, I can't believe it. And he throws down the file.
It was a good scene.
It was a very good scene.
We, you know, the other scene we didn't talk about that was the Wolf Blitzer thing.
That yeah. was great.
Yeah.
Also, well, like, I, you know, like, when Wolf Blitzer starts showing up on stuff, it's like, maybe maybe you shouldn't just like in the climate we're in today with like people saying fake news and yeah, stuff.
I was thinking that too.
I was
too.
Like, maybe Wolf Blitzer, you have like WGB or whatever, like it's, a fake news.
It's interesting because I remember a few years back, CNN had issued an edict that they weren't going to let their people be in movies anymore as newscasters.
Well, Anderson Cooper shows up every once in a while too.
Yeah. I think at some point they stopped
Rachel
that.
Rachel Maddow does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at some point they stopped that. Well, Van Jones is in The Purge.
Oh, I really? Think that it, yeah. It adds that layer, like familiarity where it's like, sure. This is a real newscast because one of my pet peeves is fake news in movies where they look so fake with their fake backgrounds. And,
but when you know it adds like CNN, you know what I'm saying though? Like given where we are today,
I get why you wouldn't want to put there. 50% of people are going to be mad at whoever you choose when you do that.
I don't even like to me. I don't mind fake news.
For CNN, I would think that they would have not liked this because
he takes a mask off
because he's literally doing fake news.
Right.
Yes.
I liked it. I thought it was clever. I saw it from a mile away. I mean, we were all like, they didn't really do that.
Well, I didn't, though. I was like, so maybe
this is the plot, of, the plot of the movie.
Is and that, then
is
the deeper we got
Ethan
into it,
screwed up. The more I was like, oh, they still do the mask.
Because when they're we need your code to track the guy, we'll read your manifesto. You know, I turned to Katie and I'm like, oh, they're playing him. It's not real.
Right. But I was like, maybe.
As soon as they were reading the manifesto is when I was like, oh, this is awesome.
This is great. Yeah. I'm like, this is great, though. It's very clever.
And then I do like how all the walls fall out and then he takes the mask off. Yeah,
it's nice that they would design the device for maximum dramatic flair.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Somebody watch the Copperfield special.
Yes. That's something that seems like something the government would do.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's the Captain America thing.
Right. So now, is this in Paris or are we in London?
We're in London.
Okay.
Paris is where they get him. London is where they go.
Okay.
Well, London is where they're supposed to deliver him.
And this is where there's a car chase too, right? Isn't there another car chase or is it all?
He's in the car.
Because they all get in a car.
They get in the... Yeah. I do. Again, this is from Captain America where he's like, you couldn't have picked a bigger car.
Yeah. So, yeah, Cavill picks the car and he picks the small
little...
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is what it is.
Oh, that's where they're all crammed in the backseat.
Yeah. Right. So they come up from the rendezvous... Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
rendezvous point, car chase. This is where they go to shoot the cop. Right,
oh,
like the lady cop.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Like,
that's what it is. So they all meet up in the car.
Yes.
And another really tension.
This is where we get,
filled.
The car chase with her. Because the three guys, Cavill, Peg, and Reigns, pile out of the car, and it's down to the bad guy and Cruz left in the car.
And
Rebecca Ferguson's chasing them. And this is a nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's a nut. So
it's cool. I mean, because the motorcycle's chasing them. They're going in and out of traffic. And at this point, you're like, we still don't know what she's doing. Like, what her deal is. She hasn't explained it. And so we're like, oh, my God, are they going to kill one another? You thought they were just going to get married.
She does say to him, she's like, there are assassins. Like, they're trying to get this guy. And I'm thinking,
I thought she was.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought she was.
She got back in the game to be an assassin.
Actually, there was a point during that chase where you don't know that it's her. I mean, you can tell from the form of her body.
Oh, true.
But you could think to yourself, I mean,
you don't know until
for the first 90 seconds of the chase.
It could have been a head fake.
Yes.
It very well could have been. You think it's her, but you're right. You don't know until the very end when she's standing in front of the car.
She flips the visor up.
And she is shooting at the car, and Ethan runs her over.
Well, he doesn't shoot. That's the thing, though, is she doesn't shoot at Ethan.
No, she's trying to kill the target.
The other guy, right. And I do like, so she hits, they get away.
She flips over the top of the car.
Right, which is great.
And you can tell he was not happy about having to do it, but it's like...
And then they have a...
It's like some Mr. and Mrs. Smith stuff going on here, you know?
He was on the clock.
That's right.
Yeah.
So then Rebecca Ferguson and Tom Cruise kind of have a meetup in this...
I like this.
I will say. I love when they film not in the States.
Yeah.
Because you get these like...
Oh, all the walkways.
You get
and
walkways and like you get all this different architecture that you don't see in all the time.
And those cities, both London and Paris, fantastic cinematography.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Why Rome. I mean, whenever they go to Italy, there's beautiful. Yeah.
So this is where we get the story where she's like, "Look, I got to kill him. He's got all the only way I get out." She's like, and he is if I kill him, and he's just like, "I can't let you do that." And she's like, "Please don't make me go through you."
Yeah.
And I was just like,
"It's good."
And she could do it.
Yep, and they part ways there. So
right.
We're
so
like,
then we go, we reconvene with Alec Baldwin. He's like, somebody sent me this dossier. Obviously, that you are John Lake.
Yeah. Oh, and this
Lark.
Whole time. Yeah.
Lark.
Yeah. So it's Cavill sets it up with Angela Bassett.
Right.
That, you know, oh, here's this phone and here's all the info against Cruz. And that's right. Where you're like, okay, obviously he just planted that. And then so now they have been feeding this to Alec Baldwin. Here's all the information you need. Ethan is portraying with the White Widow. He is him.
I do like where Bassett kind of says he's killed the one. So now, like, if he is Lark. he can now operate openly as Lark, and it doesn't. I was like, that's kind of Lake. What? it's kind of a brilliant move. Like, even if, like, obviously we're not going to turn Tom Cruise heel,
yeah. Right?
But it's kind of cool to do it that way.
They should.
How insane would that be? And you're just
That's like
making
you know,
the villain of the
Captain
last,
America yeah. is the villain. Like, I don't want my heroes to turn into villains.
If you
like,
ever thought for one second that he was going to be the bad guy for,
and
more
if you
than
ever think that Ethan Hunt's going to be
no,
the real bad
Captain America,
what did they do this with? What was the movie where they made the good guy the villain? I'm blanking now.
I don't know.
There was another big movie where,
like, the hero of the movie turned
yeah, and where you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Oh, it's a Fast and Furious when they made Vin Diesel the bad guy.
Oh,
remember?
right.
It's like all the previews, like, oh, yes. We were family, and oh, how could he do? You know, and he was,
and he's like, because The Rock's taking over my movies.
Yeah,
that's so. Why. So, this is where they've got the bad guy, and Ethan kind of says, he's like, this is our plan.
But White Widow's got him because she says, we know we have your real wife, Michelle Monaghan.
Not yet.
Well,
no.
I mean, eventually.
That's,
I mean,
that's where we're headed.
I mean,
we've
got to head there soon. So, I'm,
so they, the plan comes out that Ethan is going to take the bad guy to the rendezvous. Mm-hmm. And everybody leaves, and Cavill, he's like, either you're in or you're out. What do you want to do? And he was like, fine, I'm in.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the reveal. Cavill goes in to talk to the bad guy who they believe. So what happens is they think that Simon Pegg wears the face, and yeah. they think that the Simon Pegg is going to go with yeah. Ethan, masquerading as
another
the bad
good
guy.
Switcheroo.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, we know these movies so well. Like, they're not obvious, but I can predict them because I know these movies.
Right.
Where I'm like, oh, they left Simon Pegg. Like,
I didn't even think about it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't either. I was just. Yeah. But again, I'm not like just, sitting there trying yeah. to like guess
no,
their
and
plot
it didn't
twist.
And I'm not yeah. either. It's just you just know that everything is not what it seems. So
yeah.
like, I don't want to know these things, but I'm like, oh, this is their. It's a trick.
Yeah.
And,
so
you know.
Cavill stays behind because yeah. he's like, you stay here with him.
But I did figure as soon as Cavill
turns off the monitor,
started to go down that road, I was like, oh,
Bond
yeah.
villain?
They switched.
Yeah.
Right.
As soon as he gave his whole plot, it was
yeah.
like, yeah.
And then,
gotcha.
Yeah. What is he? So he says something, and then Cavill stops. He's like, oh, yeah, they're going to take the other one. They take the other one with the mask.
Yeah.
Damn it. And it obviously takes his mask off, and it's Simon Pegg.
And then Benji gives him the thing that he says comes back around.
Right.
Whatever.
Goes around, comes around, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now the reveal is that now we've got.
Oh, he says no, nothing personal, because Cavill
says
it's that
it's just business.
It's just business.
Yeah.
So, he's, yeah.
So Cavill turns, massive shootout.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin gets stabbed.
Cavill's got his CIA guys that are also
half
in on it.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's got like half
and
of them.
His
turn.
Bad guys shoot all the good guys.
They're Hydra agents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's important to stay hydrated. In
it
these
is.
Situations.
It's very gross.
That's what he whispered in his
yeah,
ear.
Yeah. Hail Hydra. We lose Alec Baldwin. They kill him,
yeah.
which was a shame. I was like, oh, I thought we'd, all right,
yeah.
we get
it's
more
expensive.
Of him. That's true. Yeah, especially now.
Yeah. He lost some weight, too. He looks good.
He does look good.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, you can tell
I
he really
slimmed
down.
I think
down.
He wears a suit for Trump.
Oh, yeah, no, I just mean
yeah,
in the,
but
in
he
the
gotten,
fifth one, he was heavier.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
And in this movie, he's slimmed
he's
down.
Absolutely
yeah.
slimmed down.
Yeah.
Sexiest man alive.
1996
what,
80, or something.
I think it was like 80.
When'd you get yours?
So yeah, saying. So
fair point.
Massive fight ensues. Cavill is kind of always one step ahead. The bad guy keeps saying he's like the only way to
Solomon
get
Lane is the bad guy.
Thank you, Solomon Lane.
We keep
which
saying
is,
it. And I had to actually look
which
it up
is actually,
I didn't remember.
That's a great bad guy name.
Yeah,
that's good. He says the
I
only way
it was
to
Ricky Lake.
No, that's a different. The only way to get peace is through great suffering. Like that's they keep saying that. So we find out that they're going to this.
That's why my second marriage is so peaceful.
Is that why?
Yeah.
You've suffered enough.
Yes.
The greater the suffering, the greater the peace.
That's right.
What they say in this movie.
So
we've called my wife a peace.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Kevin may have.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I mean, do you want me to not?
We find out that there's this the smallpox outbreak. And this is they're going to this almost decommissioned like camp. Like it's a medical camp
in Kashmir.
In Kashmir, which is where Solomon Lane unleashed smallpox. And this is some like serious spy stuff where they keep saying that like this, he wants us to go here. He wants this to be here. So they go, and then,
but hasn't the White Widow at this point already said that we've got,
no. So Cavill's the one that reveals that.
Oh, Cavill did.
Where he's like, I'm her guardian. Like he's getting away.
That's what it is.
He's like, he takes her picture, puts it down. He says, I'm her guardian angel.
Yeah.
And Ethan's like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
So we go, all of a sudden Wes Bentley shows up in this movie for about 10 minutes. And there's Michelle Monaghan in this camp where there's two nuclear bombs ready to go off. And this is where it's just like, he's been setting this up from Jump Street. Like he wants you to be here with Rebecca Ferguson and Michelle Monaghan and realize there's nothing you can do that's going to stop this.
And I timed it. And this is a 23 minute action
this is
set piece.
Crazy.
23
pants.
Minutes. Now
with
the
15 minute timer.
But, but stuff is happening simultaneously, you know, so they're cutting back and forth, but it's the same time. So I give them a pass
because
I said, I want to know how long this 15 minute timer goes for. Cause I was
right.
Saying, but 23 minutes, when you think about the stuff simultaneously, that's not too, an extra 8 minutes
that's close.
Concurrent.
It's close enough where it's not like,
but you know,
oh,
I mean, they can't show you, they're not going to split screen it. Like it's happening at the same time.
I got 24.
I'm dying to see a movie where, okay, we have 15 minutes
in real time.
They do it sometimes.
No. Oh. We have 15 minutes to defuse this bomb. And instead of it ticking down to 1 second left, I want 11 and a half minutes. I wasn't even close.
<That's great.
laughs> Woo! Okay, let's get some burgers.
Copyright Paul Harris. Real spoilers.
Save it
2018.
Now. Yeah.
At least do it in the opening scene of a movie. Like, I get
that's,
you don't want the movie
right
to climax.
That wasn't even suspenseful.
That's right. Right. That's hilarious.
And is it, no, I've been done for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's just sitting there smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And then they actually have a commentary in the movie where two guys are talking about it. You know, every time we see a movie, it gets down to the last second. I know. That's why I was able to do it.
That's good,
11 and a half
I've been
minutes.
Practicing this my whole life.
Right.
But this is fantastic. Seriously, 23 minutes of cutting back and forth between Tom Cruise chasing after Cavill. First of all, climbing onto a helicopter, getting into the helicopter.
I'm going to say normally these sorts of things bore me to tears.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, they're just snooze fests.
Not this one.
And no, not this one at all.
This is insane.
Right.
But meanwhile, Ving Rhames is trying to, you know, cut this wire, hold this.
Michelle Monaghan's
helping
shows
him out.
Up and we're told that, like, they were together. Something bad happened. And he's like, so every time something bad happened, Ethan would know. They both would know that wouldn't have happened
if Ethan
was there.
So it's Superman. I mean, this is Superman.
He's
right?
Basically Superman.
Superman can't retire and be with Lois Lane because,
well,
there's stuff would always be happening. And then if she gets hurt, it's because of him. What?
There are, in the DC universe, there are hundreds of heroes.
Right.
One of them, Captain Shazam, is on the Captain Marvel and the Martian Manhunter are on the same power level as Superman. Superman can retire.
I'm just saying this is Superman's guilt trip, though. This
yes,
is his thing
is
where
he
feels
thinks.
Like he.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just sounded very similar. So they go through that. But so I loved the setup where Ving Rhames is like, get over here. Give me the wire cutter. And she's like, I'm a doctor, not an electrician.
And the one with
like
the green.
Red, whatever. So they're trying to do that. Meanwhile, Ethan's like having a hell of a time. He hijacks his helicopter and then he's like trying to drop the payload on top of him.
Misses.
But he misses. And then Henry Cavill grabs a Gatling gun. And shit. Like,
it was
just
great.
Insane.
Just
it
hanging out
insane.
The side of the helicopter.
The things are going weaving in and out of mountains, and it's an exciting piece.
You've also got Rebecca Ferguson and Simon Pegg fighting Solomon Lane.
Yeah, now they're it's nuts. So yeah, the three things just go back and forth constantly, and then the scenes with Tom Cruise we talked about earlier, though, hanging from the helicopter.
Yep,
they have like a GoPro or what, you know, it feels more not cinematic, but. You know, it was that more
visceral.
Yeah, it's like a, you know how when The Hobbit was sped up to 120 frames a second and looked soap opery instead of film,
right.
Like it was that look. So it was really cool because you could tell it was all
real.
Happening under the helicopter.
Right. So he crashes the helicopter into. So both of our other two teams have they've got the deal is they have to cut these two wires. Like with
simultaneously
like with like 0.10 seconds
once
like,
the thing's activated
yeah
like
you have like a
all,
0.10 seconds
yeah.
to cut these things yeah. once the trigger that Henry Cavill has is pushed.
But I mean that scene with the helicopters, not only do they crash, then one comes like a landslide down the hill at the other helicopter, off the side of a cliff, and then the hook that was carrying the payload hooks onto a rock and is the only thing suspending them. Right. Like, it's insane.
You've got Henry, you've got Cavill getting burned by hot gas or oil, I guess.
I guess oil is
what it turns into. Two-Face.
Yeah.
Face is all gnarly. Yeah.
And, you know, this fight, it's like, and this is when Cavill says, like, why won't you just die? Which is perfect because, it's like, these guys just go through this insane stuff, and I love the self-referential nature of, like, you just can't get rid of that.
And
guys.
I will say they do a good job of, you know, ticking it down.
Yeah.
Where, like, even they're just like, look, we go to 1 second and we just cut them.
I like this conversation where Ving Rhames wants to cut it two.
Right.
And if he wouldn't have given him that extra second, it would have exploded. So Peck's like, we'll go on one.
We'll go on one.
Yeah. So but eventually, so they have this throwdown fight, and then Cavill dies a gnarly death.
Yes, he does.
Not only does he go off a cliff into an explosion, the hook that was holding the helicopter
hits him in the face,
flings and rips his face off and drags him into the explosion.
Yes.
Like, Ryan, you know, my 9-year-old was next to me, and he just was like, whoa, like he's never seen it.
Ryan was like, that's a one picture deal.
Done.
He thought this movie was so cool. And again, like, the story and stuff can bog down. Like, there's a lot of spy story stuff going on, but this movie's so action packed that my 9-year-old was in it the whole time.
But you know what was gratuitous about that scene is that when the hook comes down, first it pulls off the mustache.
Just to stick it to him.
It was just an F you to Warner Brothers.
So then Ethan is climbing up the wall. So we've got
Mission Impossible 2 style.
Yeah. So we've got one of them at one bomb, one at the other, waiting to cut the wire, and then Ethan has to go up to the detonator that Cavill had.
Pull the key.
And so at the very last second, like, they flashed a white. I like how they do that.
I did like that. And then you see Ethan, like, on the side of the mountain, and it looks like there's an explosion.
Yeah.
But it's then like it's the sun coming up. And Ethan, he's in the hospital.
And then he smiles and snaps his fingers.
That's right. And he says, all is well. Ethan's in the hospital. He wakes up. There's Michelle Monaghan. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, she says, I never would have had this life, this perfect life. And it is kind of like a gut punch where she's like, my perfect life doesn't exist with you.
Yeah.
Like, cause
but it also doesn't exist without
you. Because it's like without a Hallmark. Exactly.
Yeah. She's like a Hallmark card for spies.
Right.
And then
Ferguson whispers something to her, but we never find out what that is. And that's kind of where the movie ends. Is like,
she's like, I got this now.
Yeah. He's like, I got him. Your team is back. So you've got Rebecca Ferguson, Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, and Tom Cruise. And
not Henry Cavill. Sorry,
not Henry Cavill.
Faceless. He's going to come with a no face.
And that's it. That's where it ends. This was fantastic.
It was cool.
It was a lot of fun.
So much fun.
So good.
I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, if they keep this
I
up.
I didn't think they could keep one-upping themselves.
How many more years can Tom Cruise do this?
That's the question.
Yeah.
How old is he now? 56?
56.
56. Yeah. I was talking to someone else because Kevin Steincross, Fox 2 News, the local news guy, he interviewed him and he said, how long are you going to keep doing all these stunts? And Tom Cruise says, until I can't. Like, he doesn't plan on stopping anytime soon, which is, it's just amazing that he's able to pull this off.
Well, we know he doesn't plan on stopping. He got up and ran with a broken ankle.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a guy who's getting ready to. He doesn't have short timers disease.
Well, Tom Cruise does not say, I'm getting too old for this shit.
No, right. He does not. No.
What worries me, though, is I just, on the next time he's filming the next one, I just don't want that news report that he died falling off a helicopter. I'm just saying he puts himself in these situations.
But if it does happen, hopefully it's like four-fifths of the way through shooting.
Yeah, they don't want a Brandon Lee situation.
I bet you he's got in his contract that if I die doing one of these stunts, this stunt needs to be
in the movie.
I guarantee that he wants, if something happens to him, the movie to come out. Because if he dies and they don't show and the movie doesn't happen, it's like, what a waste of his life. Yeah. Like, there's no way.
Won't be like the Vic Morrow clause.
It's the Vic Morrow clause. Mm. Yeah.
I do wonder if they do these stunts toward the end of production, though. So, like, everything else is kind of done. And then I would think.
I don't know. That would make sense. Yeah. But
they don't want another Paul Walker situation.
Yeah. But they're also in a situation, though, where, you know, it's expensive to travel to these cities.
Yeah.
And so to travel to them all twice.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no,
would also be expensive. But yeah, but if you shut down the production of your film, that's pretty expensive, too.
Pretty expensive.
So, yeah.
Special features.
Be interesting to be the project manager on a film. Like, we need to get the project manager of one of these films.
All we know is he won't be in The Mummy anytime soon.
No.
What is he doing next? Has he announced any upcoming projects?
Too. Oh, yeah. Top Gun 2.
It'll be interesting to see if the next Top Gun movie, which is a weird thing to say.
Yep.
Will become more like
a Mission Impossible,
movie.
I can only think that he's going to lend this action type of this type of action to that.
And is Kelly McGillis in it?
Oh man, I hope not.
I don't believe so.
I know that
you want to talk about people who didn't age well.
They're recording a new song for it, though.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, that's fantastic.
Is Kenny Loggins doing it?
Yeah,
really. So.
He's coming back to do a new recording.
The really dangerous zone.
Yes,
yeah. Super dangerous.
It's the super highway. Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly appears to be the female interest.
Fantastic.
So far, the only confirmed casts are Tom Cruise, Jennifer Connelly, Val Kilmer.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully
he gets it together because, man, remember we saw him in The Snowman?
Well, and he had just had cancer surgery.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's been, you know, he's not Jack Klugmaning the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And then, he's been pretty out of shape. Not that I got room to talk, but for a movie, I'm like, would he fit in one of these planes?
He was wearing Marlon Brando's clothes.
Right.
For a while.
Yeah. And then Miles Teller.
Nice.
I hope he's Goose's son.
I think he's supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna fight Dolph Lundgren's son and Creed's son. It's gonna be a Rocky crossover.
Creed just punching jets.
But no
punching jets.
But no Indiana Jones Jr. and Shia LaBeouf.
No, unfortunately.
No.
But it shows another movie for him after that called Luna Park.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. There's nothing listed for it either.
No.
Yeah. The director is Doug Lyman.
Oh,
it's an action movie.
He did Swingers.
Doug Lyman.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Doug Lyman's Edge of Tomorrow.
And The Bourne Identity.
He doesn't have Edge of Tomorrow 2 in pre-production. Well, I'm pretty sure that was happening, but I don't know.
I think they're going to call it Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat.
That would be the...
For real. They are, yeah. Which I thought it should have been Live, Die, Pete, and Repeat.
Yes.
And then they could have done it on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody
one jumped out.
Nobody ever asks me these things.
There's a reason.
That's probably why.
Or to be in these action movies.
Right. Well, they missed their window. So. But, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm Paul at harrisonline.com and theharrischallenge.com.
And as Joe, you can find, I'm also on the Twitter at joybutts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on iTunes where you can rate, review, subscribe, or at our Patreon account at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Do we know what opens next week?
I think Mission Impossible.
Christopher Robin, and there's some action movie.
Okay.
For the big 400.
Yeah.
Yeah. I vote for Christopher Robin.
I know you do.
Yeah. It's something you could take your kid to.
That's true.
Include her in the show for a change.
I'm all right.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll figure it out and talk about something because we can't help ourselves. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, the Green Goose is XXX.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.